Well, God is good, isn't He?
Yes. Yes.
How good is He?
He's
wonderful. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Good.
Hallelujah. Yeah, you feel distant?
Yeah.
Somehow I feel distant. Amen. Well, let's turn over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. I was attempting to get through it last time, but we got waylaid. Waylaid in preaching. You know, that's a thing?
Yeah.
Called rabbit trails, or, well, it wasn't really a rabbit trail. We just got, it's like you get stuck on one song when you're singing. Then you get stuck. Sometimes you get stuck on one song and you can't get off of it because it's just ministering to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They got the chairs up here just in case we need them. You know, didn't know who was preaching. I told Alex, he said they were there, and I said, well, it must have been the same guy who tore it down last week and set it up this week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Amen. All right. Well, we finished last time at the end of verse 6 that we were predestinated to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, is verse 5 and 6, according to the good pleasure of His will, or in agreement with His will, to the end that it's to the praise of the glory of His grace, where He has made us accepted in the Beloved. So, you're accepted today, so a good start for you, is you're accepted in the Beloved. You know, there's another group, but you're not accepted in them. You're accepted in the Beloved. You're not accepted in the rejected. You're accepted in the Beloved. Say, I'm accepted.
Accepted.
Oh, it's good to say that. You know what? If you don't say that, then you... It's good to hear your voice say that. Good to hear your own voice say, I'm accepted.
Amen.
Isn't that good? Because otherwise, you know, you would just... Sometimes when you think things and it doesn't come out of your mouth, that's why they say, I will say unto the Lord. You know, or you speak these things out. Declare those things. It says, Abraham declared those things that were, or that were not, as if they were. Amen. That's what he did. And so... that's what we do, is that, you know, we know that the Holy Spirit and the living God have come and dwelt on the inside of us and transformed us and changed us. But sometimes it doesn't look like it when you look in the mirror, like James says over in James 1, 23 and 4, says you looked into the mirror and it's like a person who looked in the mirror and forgot who they were. Well, this is a mirror. This Word of God, this promise of God is a mirror. And these are things that we all... you know, understand and know as believers, but we forget them, don't we? We forget because circumstances and situations, just everyday things. I mean, just the one thing, boop, just something jumps up in front of you, and all of a sudden, you say something you should. It's probably not proper for you to say. Probably something you would have washed your kids out, mouth out with soap, but there you are saying it. You know, as if it was, you know, because somehow that's how you deal with a situation, is you swear at it. You know, you say something, it just comes out of your mouth. And because that's flesh, isn't it? That's just flesh. And flesh, not only that, not only those kind of things, which is, you know, that's just not helpful for somebody outside. I mean, it's not, you know, I'm sure all these guys who ever lived, you know, and were Jesus-loving, walking people. I mean, fishermen like Peter were pretty rough characters, you know. These were pretty rough people. And they came up and had kind of a rough vocabulary, by and large. You know, hey, I worked with accountants. You should have heard them. Accountants, you know, and they've you'd think they were kind of respectable. They've got all kinds of vocabulary. Yeah, exactly. And you do. That's right, yeah. And so what he's saying is that say those things. Say these things that be true. And the Holy Spirit just begins to work on the inside of you and transform you and change you. That's what this whole first three chapters of the book of Ephesians is talking about. It's just giving you a rendition of what God has done on the inside of you. Isn't that good? It's good to find out what God did on the inside of you. Then the rest of it is what that produces. And so many of the epistles are really that written that way. It's who you are in Christ Jesus, what the Holy Spirit and the living God have done on the inside of you, and then what that produces at the end. But we usually pull out the back side of the book and say, here's what you ought to be doing. Well, if you don't know what tools you have to get her done, you won't know how to even start, will you? You don't even know how to start loving your neighbor. You don't even know how to start having the fruit of the Spirit, because you never knew there was a Spirit that got on the inside of you, because you forgot to read the first part of the book. You're preaching out of the last half. Well, let's just skip that first half. Let's get to the meat. And they tell that's the meat, is tell you to, here's what you should be doing to be a Christian. No, absolutely not. You don't do to be a Christian. You be, and then the being produces the doing. Huh? Amen. Isn't that right? Yes.
It's true.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, it makes people happy, you know, when you preach that, doesn't it? You know, you married the perfect wife. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you didn't know that. You thought at the end of the book you had to fix her or fix him. You know, you had to make him different, change. Or, you know, I mean, if I want my kids to be in heaven, I got to straighten this guy out, make him a godly man. Otherwise, our kids might not make it. No, you don't do that. You just thank God that Jesus changed you. And as Jesus changes you, something happens in your house.
Amen.
And things begin to change, don't they, Joe?
Yes.
Isn't that powerful? And so it's not something Joe had to do. She didn't have to work this up or produce it. It's something Jesus did. You know, and what if you're single? Well, God does that in you too. Praise the Lord. You're not having to change everything you do. Just get close to Jesus. Just get close to Jesus. Move that chair like this chair here. Move it like those two chairs over there. See those two chairs over there? They are friends. They are close together. They just got close, and they just, some, they even look different. Don't they? They need to get tested. Well, sure they do. You know, and they'll test positive, which will be good. See, this test negative right over here. It's a negative test. And then look at this. Doesn't this, these two chairs over here, they're distant, socially distanced. And they look, you can't see this on this recording, but I've got chairs over here that are socially distant. Then I've got a family of chairs over here they're sitting right next to each other. And see, these over here, it just looks different, doesn't it? It just looks lonely over there. You know, but over here, boy, this looks like, you know, you could pinch each other. You know, it'd be great. You know, you could play. You know,
married.
Amen. About to get married. That's right. You could play, and you know, Jesus loves to be with you, doesn't he?
Amen.
You know, Jesus isn't looking you to perform or to be something or to do something or to trans. Or he does it all himself. He's not looking for you to produce. He's actually looking to just move on the inside of you and produce on the inside of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, you're accepted in the Beloved, and that's where we stopped last time. Okay, now, he says, in whom, now who's the in whom? Who's the in whom? Is Jesus Christ. I'll go back up and jump up to, I'll read it out of verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay, in whom, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption. Okay, so we have redemption. Now, if you look at this verse, I've underlined some things, and you won't see them, but you can look at them there in your Bible if you'll open it up, because you can see where we're headed. It's good to have your Bible with you so you can look and see what we're doing. Otherwise, you know, sometimes they have it up on the screen. But okay, so verse 7 says, in whom, Jesus Christ, we have redemption through His blood. We have redemption. He bought us with His blood. He poured out His blood and He bought us. He paid. We are bought with a price. We have been bought with a price. He came and He lived everything, a life exactly like we would have lived, tempted in every way that we were, yet without sin. He lived a totally perfect life with respect to the law. Broke no law, lived a perfect total life for you, not for himself. Because obviously, look what they did. Well, look what happens to you when you live a perfect life. They kill you. I mean, you know. So you got out without being killed. I mean, He got killed for you. Isn't that great? So, well, you know, it's great. It's great to have Jesus die for you. You know, and you had no mercy on him. You know, you really, well, thank you very much. And you go off and, you know, have breakfast. Thank you, Jesus. Appreciate that very much. But he moves on the inside of you, and he gives you a mercy and a grace and a love for the Father. The Father gives you the same love that he has for you. The Father gives you the same love that he has for you. Did you know you're beloved of the Father? And did you know you love him? What's his first commandment to the Jewish people? And his first commandment, therefore, to you, to Jesus. Now, Jesus said this. He gave them, reduced the commandments to two commandments, right? And what was the first commandment?
Love. With all your heart and soul and strength.
Uh-huh.
And your neighbors.
Love your neighbor as yourself. So the first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Well, we failed on that one first. Couldn't do that. Didn't have any capacity. The reason you fail is because you have no capacity. You have no ability to do such a thing. You know. So he's just showing you, here's the bar. Here's chin this bar. Well, I couldn't. You know, you're trying to put your hands up on the bar, pull yourself up, and you can't do it. So that's the first one. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that's kind of even harder. You know, it's harder to do that one because, I mean, you certainly can see your brother, and your brother's a mess, and he's just, you know, he just pinched you or punched you, and, you know, you were like these two chairs sitting next to your brother, and he pinched you, and you wanted to punch him back, and so the scripture says, how can you love God? How can you say you love God whom you haven't seen if you can't even love your brother whom you have seen? See, there was no way for you to be able to walk into this thing. And so God says, in whom we have redemption, verse 7 again, in Jesus Christ we have redemption. He purchased us with his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I'm going to read the whole thing here. In whom we have, number one, redemption through his blood. Number two, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And he is wherein he has abounded to us in all wisdom and prudence. In all wisdom and prudence. What's that? He's abounded to us. Wisdom and prudence is how you begin to operate. You begin to walk in wisdom and prudence. Wisely. In a way that's a blessing to not only you and your family, but the next guy and his family. Walking in wisdom and prudence produces blessing on all sides, doesn't it? Walking in wisdom and prudence. Do you know the word halver? Halverson? Halver? Means prudent. Is that awesome?
Yeah.
And I did not make that up. I read that. I didn't just, you know, decide I was going to say that today and make you go look it up. No, but that's what it means, you know. So I'll receive that. Somebody wanted that to happen. Somebody spoke that. And of course, Halver's son means the son of Halver. So some guy before me had the name Halver. And Janet's really glad she married into this family, you know, so she could get that blessing. And so somebody named their son Halver, the first name. You know, because everybody always had a first name. And it was like Halver of Dallas, you know. Or Halver's son, you know. So you really didn't have a last name. The last name just told the location of where you came from. You know, Jesus of Nazareth, right? Paul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus. Jack of Lakewood. Or Chad of Ohio. Chad of where? Local.
Ohio.
Local.
Oh, Dallas?
No, local Ohio.
Oh, Toledo.
Toledo.
Yeah.
Holy Toledo.
So you're son of wisdom.
Yes, I am. Praise the Lord. Isn't that great? Isn't that, I mean, God speaking those things that are not as though they are. That's it. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right. So in him we have redemption through his blood. Boy, you could just preach forever on that one, couldn't you? We have redemption, but we won't. Not today, at least. We have redemption through his blood. Redemption through his blood. He paid by his blood for us. He opened, in fact, the door. You know, remember where the temple, the veil in the temple was rent as soon as Jesus breathed his last breath. And he said, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. That is, his spirit went to be with God. And so, right after he said, God, why have you forsaken me? then all of a sudden his spirit went, because it was just in the blink of an eye, just in the blink of an eye, so that the payment was made for our sin. Everything was paid. All right? In whom ye have redemption through his blood, which is the forgiveness of sins, and that's according to the riches of his grace. What's the grace of God? The grace of God is his power and his mercy towards you without anything done on your behalf. His grace is just him coming to deliver. His grace is like Christmas morning, Santa Claus, without the naughty and nice. He just come by and to deliver every blessing and every benefit to you. Everything that you need, he's going to give it to you. And everything, if your needs are met, your wants are met, because he knows the desires of your heart. If your needs are met, your wants are met. You think, well, he meets your needs but not your wants. No. When Jesus comes on the inside of you, he knows exactly what you need and what you need, and it meets all your wants. Isn't that powerful?
Absolutely.
Amen. He's going to meet, because you're assuming that you got wants, but most of those wants that you got, that you claim to be wants, are wants that are born of the flesh. Well, those all go away. Those things, those needs, those desires, those fleshly desires go away. But God says, told Abraham, he's going to take care of everything that he has need of. Well, he took care of everything. He made sure he had enough food and enough cattle and enough grain, enough land to take care of all of his people. And he only had two sons. So then he had his sons, didn't have that many kids. But Ishmael probably had a lot more than Isaac. Of course, Isaac had the two. He's Jacob and Esau, And we could probably go back and look at Ishmael. Ishmael probably, he made a tribe all at once, He probably had six wives or something. I don't know. I wasn't looking that up today. Verse 8 says, wherein, in his grace, he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us, and this is what it, this is part of the abounding here, having made known unto us, this is his wisdom and prudence and insight. The word prudence there can be insight. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he has purposed in himself. His good pleasure that he purposed, that he decided, was to make known unto us the mystery of his will. What's the mystery of his will? To redeem you by his blood. To redeem you by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we also purpose in our own heart over 2 Corinthians chapter 9 when he talks about giving. He said every man gives as he purposes in his own heart. As he purposes in his own heart. To the purpose, you having the spirit of wisdom and prudence that God gave you, you begin to purpose in your own heart according to what to the will of God. Do you know that? You begin to purpose in your own heart to do what God is moving you to do. So this is everything that God has done. In you. And if you'll slow down, a lot of time we read so fast in our Bible reading that we just kind of, okay, praise the Lord, period. Thank you very much. That was a wonderful reading, Father, this morning. Thank you for just revealing that to me. No, slow down. Just read one verse at a time like we do here. And you just kind of let your motorboat just kind of chug on that little verse right there. And just enjoy that. Just enjoy that one bite. You ever had that first bite of French silk pie or whatever it is you like, And just take that one bite, set your fork down, put your hands in your lap, just, oh my, my, my. I have to have more, but I'm going to enjoy this one. Because there's only so much on that plate. See? So I'm going to just enjoy this verse right here. Is that having made known unto us, how about me? The mystery of his will. He's made known to me the mystery of his will. Wonder what that is. Lord, thank you that you just have made known to me the mystery of your will. See, because the whole world got moved into the idea that Christian, being a Christian, or being born of God, is about doing something rather than about coming to know him. First of all, you come to know Him. Then everything else comes. Everything else comes after you come to know Him. And not just know, walk down the aisle and say, okay, I'm born again. Thank you. Come to church every week and stand here at the door with this bulletin, or go out and help in the parking lot, or go out and help in the nursery. We need help, and you're trying to get everybody to, have a job. Just to keep them coming to church. But what happens is folks get bored, burned out and worn out because they're doing everything according to the just in their own flesh, right? We don't want you doing anything according to the flesh. We just here around here, nothing gets done, until Jesus motivates you to do it. Because we're not going to do that. We're not going to attempt to get you to perform. If Alex was just decided not to do this one day, we'd manage. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right. So verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery, this is Ephesians chapter 1, having made known unto us the mystery, He's done it. He's made known to us. Having done that, made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He purposed in Himself. Verse 10, that He in the dispensation of the fullness of times, okay, so once Jesus comes, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Oh, that's in Him. In Himself. And in Him. This is just amazing things that He's talking about. That the fullness of creation and the fullness of redemption are all in Christ. It's in Him. And let me think of Jesus as a man. But Jesus as the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, emptied Himself and came down and emptied Himself and entered into the body of a man so that He could walk and live like you and me. And He could relate then to you and me in our predicament, in our sin, yet not partake of it. So He came down. So God Himself came down, entered into the body of a man, and He lived the life that we live, yet without sin. So everything is in Him. So it's not about Jesus whom the disciples could go hug and oh Jesus, we just love you and just want you to be with us, you see. Is because even you remember at the dinner at the before He was going to go to be crucified, and He says, I'm going to go away. Well, they've been with Him for 3.5 years. So they've been with Him. He said, don't go. We just can't do without you. He said, no. If I don't go, the Holy Spirit will not come. You don't know the big picture. You don't understand the big picture. The big picture, for them, the big picture was a guy shows up and he beats the Romans. That's a little bitty picture. That's a small vision. Let the one party beat the other party. That's our small vision, right? Anybody know that we have, in America, we have a very small vision. Let the Republicans beat the Democrats, or let the Democrats beat the Republicans. I mean, that's the sum total of our vision for the next 45 days. All right, God bless you. And so that's all our vision is. But God had a vision from the foundation of the world to deliver every man, woman, and child from death to life everlasting. Amen. And He loves every person. For God so loved the Christians. No, the Jews. No. God so loved the whole of the world, the whole world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. So that's why He came, and that's why we're here. Now, is it okay to become involved in the world? You're in the world, but you're not of the world. But you are in the world, and He's commanded you to love the world. Over in the 17th chapter of John, it really gives you a whole idea of, if you go read the 17th chapter of John, it kind of gives you the ministry of the church. But it also gives you the mission of the church and the ministry of the church, but it also shows you the connection of the church to the Father, of you to the Father at the same time. So you're ministering to the world, but you're not of the world. Okay? So that's what that is specifically, John 17, that we talk about the prayer, but we also talk about what Jesus is saying to the church is who they are and how they relate to the world. All right? So that's how you relate to the world. And so we are, if God gives you a blessing or a freedom or something to do in the world, then you move in the world with that opportunity, privilege, duty, whatever it may be. You walk in that opportunity, privilege, duty. There were things that Paul did. Paul went down and talked to Felix or talked to Festus, or he did talk to government officials. And of course, you know, one of them says, "Well, you've almost persuaded me to be a Christian." Yeah, almost. But I can't do it because of my office. You see, I'm a high muckety muck, and I have to treat everybody equally. Treat every religion equally. So he didn't say that, but that's what he was saying. He had to treat everybody equally. So therefore, he's going to, you know, die in his sins because he has to treat everybody equally. So he says that in the dispensation, verse 10. I want to finish this thought. That so all the things that we do in the world, God will show you exactly what to do, where to go. For instance, when he was Paul and his troop were coming down across Asia and coming into the upper coast there, coming toward Europe, he was deciding whether he was going to go east into Asia. And then he tried to go north, and he tried to go south. And then a man appeared to him in a dream, says, "A man of Macedonia," I guess he could tell by the clothing or by his accent, I don't know, said, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." Well, he really wasn't thinking about going that far west. But God said, "Come here, come this way." So we hear from the Lord what direction to go, and then we follow. To follow that direction. And I mean, it may not be the path that you thought you were going to go. It may be a totally an odd thing. It's nothing that came into your mind to do, but it was totally a move of the Holy Spirit. You know, but we never had any thought of going into Mozambique. You know, why would we do that? Well, some guy in Mozambique walked all the way from Mozambique to Malawi to find a phone. And he called Robert Mawiri and he said, "Come over into Mozambique and help us." Well, that's interesting. And Macedonia and Mozambique start with an M. And so does Malawi. I have no idea if that makes any difference. But he came on over to Malawi. And then Robert comes to Pastor Jim and he says, "Jim, go to Mozambique." It's kind of like what Robert would do. And he said, "Go to Mozambique, brother." Anyway, Jim said, "No. No, I will not go." Well, guess what? He went anyway. And God made an open door. And God moved in a mighty way and delivered that country from Marxism. Delivered that country from Marxism.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. How powerful was that? Just because we loved him. We came to listen. He was on TV. Pastor Jim was on TV. He says, in the one station, you know, that's the only station you could listen to. And it was on only a couple hours a day at news time in the afternoon. Remember news in the afternoon? Remember that? Now that we got it 24 hours a day, then remember we used to have news at 5:30 and 6. That was it. You know, 5:30 national news, 6 o'clock, you know, local news. And everybody in this room, except Logan, remembers that. And, well, he's old enough to remember that, so.
We still
have it at 5:30. Yeah, really, but nobody listens to that one. All right, now. So all of those things that God does, And he prepares us to work in this world, because in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather all things in one, in Christ, both in heaven and on earth, even in him. Everything is in him. So it's not just, again, I'm getting back to that thought that it wasn't just Jesus in his humanness, okay? It wasn't just Jesus in his humanness. It's Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, the only begotten of the Father, who emptied himself, came and entered into the body of a man and lived a perfect life, and then was crucified for us and delivered us, and rent the veil in twain, and we were delivered from the power of sin in that moment. Whoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So Jesus was bigger than Jesus. And I know we have lots of worship songs, and we worship and we praise, oh, Jesus, and I want to, it's like some of them are, oh, Jesus, I want to hug you. And Jesus, I want to, you know. It's a little, it is from the spirit viewpoint, that's it's okay, but so many young Christians kind of get the idea that it's some kind of a human love affair. But the fact that God loved you, it's deep. It's deeper than that. And he loved you, and he received you unto himself, and he delivered you, and he lives in and through you. So it's forget the romance part, it's the family part that God wants you to have. Amen? It's not the romance part that God wants you to have. It's the family. It's the Father. It's you are the beloved of God. Amen? This is who you are. You are the beloved of God. He has met all of your needs. And he comes in and he cares and blesses you. And that's what this first chapter of Ephesians is talking about. How he's come to... All things are in him. Verse 11. Here it is again. In whom? First of all, it's in him. Now it's in whom? In whom? In him. Also. I'm getting tired. I can't take too much more. This is so good, isn't it? I mean, if you read this, you can't. How can you read more than one verse at a time? It's like a giant plate of food. How can you eat any more of these verses than one at a time and not just stop and put your fork down and just enjoy the fullness of the grace of God? In whom we also have obtained an inheritance. It just gets bigger. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things. Doesn't matter what you've run into. Doesn't matter what kind of a day you've had. Doesn't matter what kind of a week you've had. Doesn't matter what kind of a year you've had. Doesn't matter what kind of a life you've had. What kind of a marriage you've had. What kind of children you've had. It doesn't matter. He's predestinated, we are predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. All things after the counsel of his own will. Let's see, what have I decided to do today? Well, good, that's an awesome idea. We're going to go ahead and do that. It's because he is wisdom. He is prudence. As we read back in verse 10, back in the earlier verse. Amen. Now here's the purpose of it. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted, which we? Those who first trusted in Christ. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom you also trusted, he's talking to the Ephesians now. After that you heard the word of truth. How do you trust? How can you trust without a preacher? How can you trust without hearing the word? The word cometh first. The word comes first, and then you hear. Then you hear, and then how can we hear unless we hear the gospel? In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the good news of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed. And so in whom again? You were sealed. Hallelujah. With that Holy Spirit of promise. What's good to be? It's good that you've heard and you've received it. Now you're sealed. You're completely sealed. God has already taken you and he's sealed you. And he's, so there's nothing that can ever take you out of his hand. Amen? There's nothing that can take you out of his hand. We're in Ephesians chapter 1. Looking about verse 13. So in whom, and again, okay, I just want to take us back to in whom you also trusted. If you'll go through this, you'll go back and study this particular chapter, you'll find that everything is about in whom and in him. And in whom and in him, again, as I mentioned, is not about just the human person of Jesus as Son of Man, but as in him, in whom his deity and his Godhood. All of these things are because Jesus was God. Now, did he operate as God on the earth? No, he emptied himself. He emptied himself, and the Holy Spirit began to work through him. He said, these same miracles that I do, these same works that I do, you shall do also in greater works. Why? Because I go to my Father. If he did not go to the Father, he said, that the Holy Spirit would not come. So, you're going to do greater works because he went to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit. So, you're going to do the same works and greater works that he did. So, the works that he did were as a man filled with the Holy Ghost. There's some discrepancy on that, but that's what I believe the Scripture teaches that. Is that he didn't come down and do all these works as God, and then when he left, God left, and all that power left. And then somehow or another, the power that the disciples had for the first 60 years, that all left too. Well, no, he never said that. He never said that power left. He said that power came to come upon the church. And the Holy Spirit has not left. The Holy Spirit is still on the inside. The Holy Spirit is in the business of bringing people to Jesus, isn't he? He's in the business of bringing people to Jesus. He's in the business of lighting the fire of the Word of God on the inside of you. When the Word comes on the inside, who receives it? The Holy Spirit receives it. The Holy Spirit comes on the inside of you. You're drawn by him, and then he indwells you as you receive the promise. And then he empowers you to follow Jesus in his complete and full ministry, in miracles and signs and wonders. But again, all of these things are in him, in whom, because Jesus was the manifestation in human flesh of the Son of God. He's the manifestation in human flesh of the Son of God. He ministered to them. He loved them. He was a real, living, breathing, human person who loved everybody he came in contact with the way God loved them. Amen. He loved you. He loved you with that, no matter what you looked like. He loved Matthew the tax collector. You know, he loved Judas who betrayed him. He loved him because he even knew what he was going to do. But he loved him. Do you love the people that did you know are going to betray you? You will if the Holy Spirit's in you. And you agree with it. And agree with that. You know, I mean, we have our minds that say, oh, yeah, I could never love that person. Well, that's a lie. Don't believe that. You're in their life to love them the way Jesus loved them. That's the reason you're standing right by that person who is just nasty, hateful, and ugly, and has a vendetta against you. Because you love them. Jesus loved them who hated him, didn't he? And it's not something you're going to do because you're going to please God. It's something that you already do. You just need to agree to it. Amen. Just need to agree to it. Okay, yeah, I believe I love that person. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe you're stuck with them. You know, might be a husband or a wife. Might be Uncle Susie. These days, I guess you could have an Uncle Susie. You know, and you got to love Uncle Susie that same way. Amen. I just won't go any further with that. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, people are crazy, and people do all kinds of wild and crazy things. And there's all kinds of wonderful, great opportunities for you to be angry and hate the world. Amen? Jesus wasn't angry and he didn't hate the world. And all of these things we're reading in this chapter, in the next two chapters, is how God entered on the inside of you, and this is what he performed. This is what he performed on the inside. He predestinated you to the praise of his glory. Okay? I'm going to read 11 again. Just to read it in its fullness. In whom and following. in whom, Jesus Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, which is the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. He's coming again. He's coming again for you. He's coming again to receive you unto Himself. He left you here to be the image of the Holy God, to declare to the world His love and His mercy and His glory. That's why He left you here. So if you're still here, you've got a purpose. Don't ever act like, well, I don't even know why I'm here. You know, I don't seem to be doing too much. You know, there's not much going on for me. No, just spend time in the presence of God and let Him decide. Amen? Yeah. I mean, if He wants to take you home, He'll take you home. That's fine. But if He wants to leave you here, it's because He's got work for you to do. He's got a plan for you. Amen? He does. He does. Because He's in charge. You're not in charge. You know, you can complain and feel sorry for yourself all you want, you know, and that's not fun at all, is it? You know, I just wish I would just go home and be with Jesus. Now, let's do it this way. Let's let the Holy Spirit decide. And he's got a work and a ministry for you. He's got things for you to do. And you may feel like, well, I'm just not doing much at all. Well, just spend time in His presence. Come into His presence and do what you know to do. If you're still working, go still work. Just ask Him where to go today. Where to go today. And He'll show you. He'll show you where to go and who to minister to today. Amen. Praise God. If you don't know that, then come go talk to you. Come talk to your pastor. He'll give you something, you know. And it's not just a job to do. You know, we're not going to give you a job to do just to do a job. What we're going to do is give you the encouragement that you need to follow Jesus, to get into the presence of God, to find your sins. First, that's another thing we'll get you to do. It's just ask Jesus to show you your sin. Because obviously, if you're not joyful, you're not peaceful, there's a sin, there's something going on. But it's not something you're going to fix. It's something He's going to fix. Amen? You know, it's like on the inside of you, know, oh, I feel bad. You know, people go to the doctor because they feel bad, don't they? They go to the body, but they don't know what's wrong. Well, see, you go to Jesus and find out what's wrong.
Amen.
He'll show you what's wrong. And then on top of that, He'll fix it. How many of you do surgery on yourself? I mean, besides with a nail file, you know, or a pair of clippers, you know. Otherwise, you leave it pretty much to... My father-in-law used to go and do surgery with a pocket knife. Did you ever have a guy in your family who would do that? You know, just, I mean, he'd work on himself with a pocket knife, you know, work on and then he'd invite the children to come. The children would complain about, well, I got this thing in my face. Well, come here, let me have that. And he'd pull out his pocket knife and start working on you. And then he'd go find Mama, because Mama's not going to do that. That's Janet's testimony. Amen. But no, God's going to work on you. He's going to work on you. And He knows exactly what's wrong. He knows what's going on. If you don't know what's going on and what's wrong, Jesus will fix you. Amen. And don't get all bogged down, you know, I don't know. You know, just keep coming to the same old... I mean, as long as they're teaching the gospel, keep going to the same church. You know. People just trying to run around and run around and run around, you know, and get fixed. You know, I think the Holy Spirit can just meet you right where you are.
Amen.
Because He's everywhere and He hears your voice. All right? Verse 15, look here. Ephesians 1:15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you and making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Here's the prayer. Now, you want to receive this?
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Paul said he ceased not to give thanks for these folks in his prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this is our prayer for you, as pastors, this is our prayer for you. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him.
Hallelujah.
Father, thank you for giving unto everybody here the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. You know, they could be. The eyes of your understanding are being enlightened. That you may know what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Why don't we preach that more often?
Glory to God.
Why don't we preach that more often instead of, okay, here's what you need to do to make God happy and make him pleased with you. Well, this is what's pleasing to Him, is that you know these things. This is what's pleasing to Him. Because it accomplishes everything else. That you may know what is the hope of His calling. The hope of His calling.
Hallelujah.
The expectation. That you may know what to expect because you're called of Him. So He wants you to know. He wants you to have expectation. What's the hope of His calling? That's what the hope is. The hope is the expectation of the finished product. That you may know what is the hope of His calling and what it looks like and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And there's another and. Oh, you see, you can even get excited about and, can't you? Anybody ever get excited about the word and? And just means more. And just means more. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe?
Hallelujah.
According to the working of His mighty power. That word according there can mean equal to. Equal to the working of His mighty power. Well, that's a lot. The exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. And how much power is that?
All the power.
According to the working of His mighty power. And what's that related to? Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. So equal to the mighty power that He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. And set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality. And power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And He has put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all.
Hallelujah.
So His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Where is that? Far above all principality and power. Far above anything on this earth. All principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. So in this world, but it's inclusive of this world. See, He's over everything in this world. So don't be nervous. Well, what if so-and-so wins? Well, what if so-and-so wins? You're okay. You're okay with that. I didn't say don't get involved and do, you know, because in this nation you have the authority and the power to, and the liberty and the freedom to raise up a godly leader because you are a godly leader. So you have that. But what if For some reason, the guy that you work for didn't get it. Rejoice.
Amen.
Don't get upset. I talk to people all the time. I mean, if the election doesn't go their way, I mean, they're just devastated for the next 4 years or the next 2 years, however long it is until they can do something else. Because it's all about what you can do, right? That's what your thought is. Well, God gave it to us. We're going to go, by golly, we're going to go do it. I don't know any Bible stories where that, or Bible examples where that happens. It's always God doing it, isn't it? I mean, God tells you to do one thing, but then it's up to Him. And so it's not up to me to get grumpy when things don't appear to go my way. I just do whatever God told me to do. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Because after that election, you got to be able to minister life to the people who get depressed. Amen. Don't you? You get to minister life to those folks. I mean, you got to be the chaplain for the whole whatever group you're in, you know, to love them, to minister to them, because what you want them to do is hear the voice of God. You want them to hear the voice of Jesus. Amen. And that's all your goal is. Your goal, even in this world, is not to have a Republican or a Democrat win. Your goal in this world is to lead people to Jesus. And if it makes it easier to have one or the other in that spot, if God, whatever God tells you to do, all we do is tell people to vote the Bible. You know, go vote what the Holy Spirit, the Word of God tells you to do. You know, whoever protects the life, and whoever gives you freedom to preach the gospel, you know, whatever the Word of God gives you liberty to do, that's the way you want to vote in your local election. And I said local because, I mean, you know, the president really doesn't affect you all that much. Who affects you more is the folks who affect your kids down there in the school district. And the folks who affect you in the in your local city. Those are the people we ignore. We just do the checkbox at the top and say, I did my duty. No, you didn't. No, you don't want, you want to love your neighbor. You are watching over all the people who you have opportunity to affect, to put in charge of your local community. Amen. That's how you love your neighbor. Is you take care of that issue. You know, I mean, make sure your trash is cleaned up. Make sure your dog's inside. You know, make sure all the things that affect, you know, Bob and Sue next door to you, those are the ones. And what about ministering to them the gospel, the love of Jesus, and having the freedom and liberty to do that in your town, right? I mean, Washington, D.C. is a long way from most of us. And the only people that's close to us, people up in Baltimore. Yeah, here in Texas, I mean, back before the internet, back before TV and radio, we didn't hear from them. We didn't hear from those people back in those days. You know, now we hear it, gosh, 24 hours a day. You know, we forget about what we're doing for ourselves just because we're busy listening to stuff that you just don't have, you could affect by prayer, but that's pretty much it. Amen. Verse 22, and he said he's put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. He's the head over all things to the church. Who's the church? Somebody say me. That's right. So he's given to him to be the head of all things to you. He says, if two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I, right there. That's the church, isn't it? Two or three gathered together, right there. Dee and Cynthia, right there. I mean, if they're just having coffee, that's the church, right there. Amen? That's the church, right there. And so, he's given him to be head of all things to the church. So, everything that pertains to you, he's head of it. Everything. Everything. Even your grumpy, whatever, I'm off of them now. They're not grumpy. I'm off onto you. Is everybody else, is everything that could possibly come into your purview to make you grumpy and make you think of something else other than how God's met all of your needs, and that He loves you and cares for you and has brought all things under His feet and with respect to you and for your benefit and blessing. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus. Every day, every hour, especially in the night, when you wake up in the middle of the night and the enemy wants to bring something to you that says, well, what about this? All these whatabouts, all the whatabouts is what the Holy, what God says, I'm taking care of that. What about my kids? What about my job? What about my mom, my dad, my, you know, I've taken care of all of that.
That's right.
So once that thought comes to you, you give it to the Lord and say, Father, thank you that you've taken care of that. And show me if there's something I need to do to it. If I need to do to put a bow on it or love it or take a meal or send a scripture or go give a hug, whatever I need to do. Thank you that you'll just show me how to do it. And I'm not going to worry about what I didn't do. I'm not going to worry about what I didn't do. Boy, did I say that? I'm not going to worry about what I didn't do. The moment you begin worrying about what you didn't do, your focus is on who? You.
Yeah.
How about, Lord, thank you that you're just using me.
Amen.
And I'm going to hear you. And thank you for leading me. Thank you for putting me in position. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that. Hallelujah. Now, this is just chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3 really continue to do this. And you can read ahead on this. I'll probably keep going on this in the days to come. So we just give you praise, Lord. Thank you for all the things that you're doing today.
Yes.
Thank you for the word that you've imparted to us today. Thank you that you're bringing it to pass on the inside of us, that we do not look in the mirror at the man of flesh, the woman of flesh, to see how we've failed or not done what you told us to do, but we in fact look into the perfect law of liberty, James chapter 1, verse 22 and 3 and 4, that says, look into the perfect law of liberty, and that's what I've done. And that's what I'm accomplishing and fulfilling on the inside of you.
Yes.
I'm accomplishing and fulfilling on the inside of you. I thank you that you said here in the book of Ephesians that you're in this letter to the Ephesians that you're ministering to this Ephesian church, this Gentile church, who doesn't have a law unto themselves, but you're ministering to them what the Holy Spirit has done and what the living God has done to produce in them life eternal and to produce in them the walk of faith and the walk of the holiness of God. By the Holy Spirit, not by works of righteousness, not by the works of the law, but according to His mercy. So He comes and lives and on the inside of me. Father, thank you that you're living on the inside of me and changing me and causing me to walk according to the gospel. Because the other thing didn't work, because the flesh was too weak. The flesh was not able to fulfill. But thank you that you moved on the inside of us by your Spirit. And we just give you praise, and we give you glory, and we love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we do love our neighbor as ourselves. And we thank you for completing that work one day after another, day after day, that you're ministering to us and showing us your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's lift our hands and thank you. Hallelujah. Just thank God today. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you're working in me that which is well-pleasing in your sight. Thank you that the living God is my source of supply and that He's predestinated me to be conformed to the image of His Son. And every day that's being accomplished. Father, I repent of all of my sins, the ones that I know of. And thank you that you promised that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you that we're joyful, peaceful, and without complaint. That's who we are, and that's what we are. And we just, and when those other things come up, we thank you that we just cast our care upon you because you care for us. And we have wherewithal to declare a loving God in the gospel of Jesus. Hallelujah. To everybody whom we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.